Okay, today's daf is Nun Gimel. We're going to start the fifth parak from the bottom of Nun Bet Amud Bet. Kol ha-menachot ba'ot matzah. Okay, we know this, that all the menachot, all except for it, are matzah. They're not leavened. Chutz mi-chamet she-betoda u-shtei alechem. We've talked about these many times. Other than, if you remember, there's 40 loaves of the that you bring for the toda with Thanksgiving sacrifice, and 10 of them are chametz. U'shtei halechem, and the shtei halechem that you bring on Shavuot is also chametz. Shehem ba'ot chametz. Now there becomes a problem. If they're going to be brought chametz, how did they do? They didn't have yeast in those days, what we call yeast. So how did they do it? They took a little bit of the solet, they mixed it with water, and they let it sit.
Sourdough.
Right, sourdough. Exactly, sourdough. They let it sit for a few days, and that's how it would leaven. The question is, how do you measure, if you need an isaron of solet, how do you measure it? Before it leavens or after it leavens?
It's the same amount of flour. It's not the same volume.
So we're going to talk about it. So this is going to be the question. So, Rabbi Meir Omer, Hasu'or bodeh lahem mitochan u'mechamtzan. What we do is we measure exactly what we said. You take the exact amount that you need. You measure the isaron. Then you take a little bit out. You mix that with the water. Then you put it back into the dough, into the middle of the, not the dough. You put it back into, like you sort of bury it in the solet. And you let it rise there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afhi enamina mukhar. That's not going to rise so well. Why? Because the issue is that once you've measured it, it's become not 100% sanctified, that it's, let's say, going to be psul if you leave it overnight, psul of lina, but once you've designated it, it's already sanctified for the sake of this mitzvah, in which case you're going to be worried. You don't want it to become in contact with tuma, you're going to be nervous about it. If you're going to be nervous about it, you're going to rush the process. You're not going to let it leaven properly. And then you're going to do it too quick, and it's not going to actually come out as a nice leavened bread. As we all know, if you get impatient when you're waiting for the yeast to ferment, you're basically, and especially a sourdough, which basically ferments very slowly, if you do that, you're going to have an issue. So he says, Ela mevia tasu'or. You take, and as you take it out, first you just leaven a little bit. You take it, and when you go to measure the isaron, when you're ready to actually do the mincha, you take the solet, you measure it in a measuring thing, and you add to that measuring cup the si'or, the piece that was already leavened. V'notzno l'toch hamida u'memaleat hamida. So now you're going to have a bit of an issue. That's what he says is, the si'or is counted in as you measure the isaron of solet. So you're basically going to have solet and a piece of seor, which is really solet mixed with a little water. And that's how you're going to measure your isaron. So amru lo, and that way, what happens? And that way, you end up with a good leavened piece of, leavening agent, because it's sat for a few days outside before you measure the rest of the solet. But what's the problem here? Amru lo, afiyaita chasera o yitera. This could end up that you'll end up with either too much or too little. You won't be able to measure an exact isaron based on this. Later we'll get back to how it could be chasera or how it could be yetera. So, and that's going to be the issue. The Ruth said, well, it depends, the volume will change. So if you're putting in the measuring cup, it's going to affect the volume. Either it'll be larger, in which case you'll have less than an isaron, or it'll be smaller, in which case you'll have more than an isaron. And you won't end up with the right measurement. Now we're going to start with a question. The Rabbi Preda asked Rabbi Ami, and from here we're going to get off on an interesting tangent later. We have a good agadita today. Ba'amine Rabbi Preda me Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Preda asked Rabbi Ami a question. I'll just preface this with a little bit of background about Rabbi Preda. I did a little research about him. The famous story about Rabbi Preda is mentioned in Eruvin, where he basically has a student who can't really get it. And he teaches him 400 times the same thing till he gets it. He clearly has a lot of patience. And although I don't think it's patience that we're going to focus on today. But then what happens is somebody comes, I think is the story. And then the student gets distracted and can't learn properly because he's worried that, and as Rabbi Prada tells the person, wait, but he's worried that Rabbi Prada's mind is on that and he's going to leave him any minute, and he basically can't learn it, and then Rabbi Prada realizes, and he says to the student, don't worry, I'm not going out to this person, I'm focusing entirely on you, and he has to teach him 400 new times, okay? And he basically spends a lot of time on the student who clearly can't get things, and has a lot of patience for him to try to help him get it. And then a Bak Kol comes down and says to him, would you rather have the people should live 400 years or that they'll get Olam Haba? And he says, I'd rather we get Olam Haba. And Hashem says, you know what? Give him both. Okay? And that's the story that he gets to live 400 years and gets Olam Haba. And anyway, it shows... What?
It's like punishment.
Right. Well, depends what his 400 years were like. Okay. That's a little bit about Rabbi Prada. What we see from him, and this is going to be critical for the Agadata that's going to come up, is that he clearly had, you know, there's those teachers who favor the underdog, you know, and the person who's struggling, and he really felt like that was his, you know, his goal in life to kind of, where I don't know if you could take one story, but, you know, he clearly, the story was exaggerated, but to show how much he went out of his way to help people who didn't have a lot of knowledge and it was hard for them to learn. On that note, this isn't yet connected, but Rabbi Prada asked Rabbi Ami, "Minayin l'chol ha-menachot shehem ba'ot matzah? How do we know that menachot are matzah?" So they say. He says back to him, "Minalan, d'chtivba, d'lo k'tivba, k'tivba zot torat ha-mincha, ha-krevota b'nei Aaron l'fnei Hashem o'pnei ha-mizbeach, v'noteret mimenu yochlu Aaron u'banav matzot te'achel." So he says to him, "What do you mean, Minalan? If it says it explicitly, you know, there's some of the menachot where it says exactly it has to be matzah. So that's dechtivba, ktivba, and that's where it says it. It says it. Delo ktivba, where it doesn't say it, it's all kind of captured in this catch-all phrase. This is Torat HaMincha, Aaron, Krevot HaBnei Aaron, the sons of Aaron, will bring this before Hashem, HaBnei HaMizbeach, and whatever's left will be burned. Matzot te'achel, okay, and it will be eaten. Matzot. So here you have your catch-all pasuk, which tells you it's going to be matzah. So he says, what kind of question are you asking? How do you know it's supposed to be matzah? It says, by all of them, it says it's supposed to be matzah. Or if it doesn't say, it goes into this category, obviously, except for the exceptional two, which we're not going to deal with right now. Amar le, mitzvah lo kamibayeli. I wasn't asking, how do we know that there's a mitzvah to make it matzah? Ki kamibayeli la'akev. He says, no, I wanted to know. Now, that's obviously, ideally, they're supposed to be done matzah because of what you said, because it says in the Pasuk they're supposed to be done matzah. But how do we know, like, that if it leavened, you can't bring it? Okay, that's his question. So, Amar Lei, Lakev Namiktiv, what do you mean? It also says that it can't be brought chametz, dichtiv, or ktiv, lo tofech chametz. Okay, lo teafech chametz, right? Teafech. It says, right, it can't be baked as chametz. So there you have it. That's in Vayikra Vav, Pasuk Yud. Remember, there's two sections of the Menachot, one in Bet, one in Yud. I'm sorry, in Vav, Pasuk Yud. So it says there, lo te'afeh chametz chalkam. Chalkam natati otam yishay Hashem kodesh kodeshim ikachata kasha. Can't be chametz. So it's obvious it's la'akev, because it says it can't be chametz. So why are you asking this question? Keep struggling with this question. So lo te'afeh chametz ala matzah. Matkifla Rav Chista. So Rav Chista, okay, he basically says, it's sort of why you're asking your question, but it's also saying this is the answer. In other words, the answer is, it's clear that it's la'akev because it says lo te'afeh chametz. So now Rav Chista attacks Rabbi Ami's answer, and eventually we're going to have a few attacks on Rabbi Ami's answer, and we're going to say that it's not so clear from lo te'afeh chametz that that means it has to be matzah. Because we're going to say maybe there's something in between chametz and matzah. Okay, we generally think chametz, matzah, that's it. But we're now going to see there's maybe something in between, that maybe lo te'afeh chametz was coming to say, it can't be chametz, but it could be, but it doesn't have to be matzah, because it could be something in the middle. So we're going to have some attacks on Rabbi Ami's answer, and we're going to eventually have to come up with a different answer. Matkif la Rav Chista. Ve'ema lo te'afeh chametz ela se'or. Maybe it's saying it can't be chametz, but it could be se'or. What's se'or? Se'or is what we talked about, this leavening agent, where it's not exactly leavened yet, but it's on its way to being leavened, right? It's in between. It's not matzah, but it's not chametz. So maybe it's telling you it could be se'or. So now, this is the complicated part of today's daf. Se'or deman. Se'or, according to who are we talking about? Now, there's two definitions of se'or in Psachim. Okay, one is Rabbi Meir, one is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says it's hichsifu panav. Okay, which seems it starts to get shiny, maybe you could say, where the dough starts to shine a little. That's an earlier stage. Rabbi Yehuda says it's karnecha gavim. It looks like antenna of grasshoppers, which means it starts to crack. Okay, I don't know why that exactly is antenna of grasshoppers, but they say once the dough starts to crack, then it starts leavening. Okay, that's se'or. Okay, so now we're going to say, when you say se'or, okay, this is where it's going to get tricky, what do you mean? That, in other words, lo tefech chametz means it can't be chametz, but it could be se'or. So if you're talking about, if you're saying, and so when we say se'or, do we mean by Rabbi Meir's definition, hechsifu panav, or by Rabbi Yehuda's definition where it starts to crack? Okay? Idi Rabbi Meir, if you want to say, we're talking about se'or of Rabbi Meir, li Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, this is a little tricky. How does it work? If you're saying that it can be se'or, meaning Rabbi Meir's se'or, meaning the early stage, where sifu panav, okay, but you're talking about according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to have four permutations. Then we're talking about Rabbi Meir's definition, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda's definition according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir's definition according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda's definition according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so meaning, if you mean se'or according to Rabbi Meir, that is the early stage, but you're saying that lo tefech chametz ela se'or is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, according to Rabbi Meir's definition of se'or, well, according to him, that's not even se'or, that's matzah ma'al yehi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he views that stage as still matzah. So you wouldn't need it to be said according to that opinion. Okay? Ida Rabbi Yehuda la Rabbi Meir, and if you want to say Rabbi Yehuda's definition of se'or, when it already would start to crack the later stage, according to li Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, that's chametz ma'alia. If you're saying his definition of se'or, but that the drasha lo tefech chametz, the answer of Rabbi Ami, ela se'or, would be according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir views that as chametz ma'alia, that's already past se'or. Why they're suggesting these two possibilities is quite odd. They're saying, when we mean se'or, we mean Rabbi Meir's definition of se'or, but according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, or, okay, it's a little strange they're offering these possibilities. Anyway, they reject them. Ida Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir. Now, what we didn't yet know, but we're going to learn right now, is that they also have a machloket about whether this se'or you get malkot for. Okay? So, Ida Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir. So if you want to say Rabbi Meir's definition of se'or and according to Rabbi Meir, midelakeh alav, according to Rabbi Meir, you actually get malkot if you eat se'or on Pesach. Okay, remember, se'or is this in-between stage. So Rabbi Meir holds you get malkot on it. Rabbi Yehuda holds you don't get malkot. Rabbi Meir thinks se'or is an earlier stage, and Rabbi Yehuda thinks se'or is a later stage. Now, if you go with Rabbi Meir and you say, we're talking about the definition of Rabbi Meir according to Rabbi Meir, if you're going to get malkot on it, then he must view se'or as chametzu. He thinks that se'or is actual chametz, because otherwise you wouldn't get malkot on it. So you can't say that it's an in-between stage, because if you get malkot for it on Pesach, then you obviously think that se'or is chametz. So therefore, you can't say that his statement was made according to that. E de Rabbi Meir, le de Rabbi Meir, sorry, not Rabbi Ami, I said before, it's Rav Chista. Rav Chista's question, ema lo tefa chametz ela se'or.
It's se'or. Se'or is one of the grains.
Se'or.
It's very confusing because se'or is one of the...
No, five. You're talking about se'ora. That's with an ayin. That's se'ora.
Okay, but it's still, it says here
it's se'or.
Yeah.
Se'or. Okay. I was called it se'or. In the Torah, they call it se'or, I thought. But okay. Ela de Rabbi Yehuda la Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, when Rav Chista said, "Be'ema lo tefech chametz ela se'or," it must be this in-between stage. He's talking according to Rabbi Yehuda's definition, that there's this in-between stage where it starts to crack. And if it's that, then it's no longer matzah. So you might have thought lo tefech chametz would be telling you that it can't be chametz, but it could be se'or. Okay? And therefore he rejects Rabbi Ami's answer, lo tefech chametz ala matzah. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, since you don't get malkot on that stage for Pesach, then it wouldn't be actually called chametz. And therefore, that would improve that the menachot have to be matzah. And with that, he rejects Rabbi Ami's answer.
At what point in history did they determine the 18 minutes?
I don't know in the 18 minutes. I don't know. I don't remember.
Because if they already had it scientifically defined, then they could have saved themselves. They could have also included this in a scientific argument as to what stage.
Mm-hmm. It would have been more clear cut.
Right. In terms of what the actual. It's true. Okay. Matkif la Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Another question on Rabbi Ami's answer. Ve'ema lo te'afa chametz ala chalut. You could say maybe it can't be chametz, but you could boil it. Okay? Like we make bagels, right? It's boiled, and some of the, remember the morbechet is made that way. Maybe you boil it. Okay? You could boil it, and then it wouldn't be called matzah. It would be called chalut. So then they say, chalut mainihu. But what's this chalut? That's rivicha. Idiika rivicha, ktiba rivicha. Had lo ktiba rivicha. Mainihu rivicha. So now they say, no, that's rivicha. In other words, if it meant lo tefech hametz, but it should be rivicha, then it should have called it a mincha morbechet, like it calls a mincha morbechet. So that's not a good question. So they say, no. Idi ikar rechiva, ktiba rivicha. V'ha lo ktiba rivicha, v'eim adich tib... Wait, am I reading it right? Idi ikar rivicha, ktiba rivicha. V'ha lo ktiba rivicha. So they say, one second, according to this...
We're just talking regular mincha, then rivicha is not what they're talking about.
Right, so if it doesn't say it, then you have a choice.
Right, Idi ikar rivicha. So this is part of his question, right? And if it needs rivicha, then it it would say rivicha, and the pasuk of Rabbi Ami didn't say rivicha, and therefore, this is the Gemara's rejection of Rav Chista's question, of Rav Nachman's question. It's saying, what do you mean? If it's rivicha, right? And chalut is rivicha. So if it's going to say rivicha, then it'll say rivicha. And this pasuk where it says, lo tefech hametz, doesn't say anything about rivicha. So why would you assume it's rivicha? So here comes the answer. Why Rav Nachman's question is still a good question. Because you could say, ve'ema dechtiba rivicha mitzvah berivicha. If it says rivicha, that means it has to be done rivicha. But if it doesn't say revicha, then ibai rechiva leite. If you want to bring it like revicha, then you can. Ibai matzah leite. In other words, again, you could say lo tefech hametz could mean you have the option if you want to do it revicha. When it says revicha specifically, then it has to be. But if it doesn't say it, then it could be. Matkif la Ravina. So now, third question on him. Ve'ema lo tefech hametz lamekam gavra belav ba'alma. Ve'ifsule molom mifsala. When it says lo tefech chametz, that's to say there's a lota, so you're not allowed to make a chametz. But if you did, who's to say the mincha is disqualified? It could be it's still a good mincha. And therefore, his question, remember what his question was? His question was, how do you know that if it's matzah, it'll be disqualified? La'akev, right? That you can't bring the mincha. So he's saying, if it's chametz, it's disqualified. Lo tefech hametz just says there's a lo tefech, you can't do it. But if you did it, maybe it's not disqualified. And therefore, they bring a different answer. Ela minalan, kidetanya matzah. Because it says matzah, yachol mitzvah, maybe it's only a mitzvah, right, that they should be done matzah. Talmud lamar, tihiyeh. It says in one of the minachot, matzah tihiyeh. Hakatuv kva'o chova. Tihiyeh comes to tell you it's chova. Okay, next question. Baimine Rabbi Preda mi Rabbi Ami. Preda asked another question of Rabbi Ami. Right? The first one was kind of unsuccessful, right? He didn't really get an answer from Rabbi Ami. The Gemara had to give a different answer. Minayin l'chol ha-menachot sh'niloshot be-poshrin u'mishamran sh'lo yachmitzu. How do we know that you knead them with lukewarm water and you have to make sure that they don't become chametz?
There's the 18-minute question.
No, medena mi-pesach. Nachon, this is like the 18-minute question. Nimadena mich Pesach, we'll learn it from Pesach, Dechtiv, Ushmartem et Hamatzot. He says, we'll learn it from Pesach, where it says, Ushmartem et Hamatzot. Amarle, Begufaktiv, what do you mean? You don't need to learn it from Pesach, where it says, Ushmartem et Hamatzot. You can learn it from the Psukim themselves about the Menachot. Because Begufaktiv, Matzah Tihiyeh, Hachayeha. Okay, matzati yehachaya means you should protect it, observe it, right? Like lishmor ota. Okay, so he learns it from tiyeh, they change tiyeh to tichayeha. A lot of times we see hey and chet interchange. And there, it means you have to watch it. Vaha afik te la'akev. Wait a minute, didn't we just use that pasuk to show that it's ma'akev? And then we can't use it for two drashot. Ah, imken lichtof kram matzahi. Should have just said then, it is matzah, meaning it's la'akev. Mai tiyeh, tiyeh, shma mina tarite. Therefore, the fact that they use tiyeh, not he tells you that you can learn two things from it, both that it's ma'akev if it's not matzah, and number two, that you have to watch it. Okay, it needs watching like with the matzah. Okay, now we get off on a total tangent, which we'll try
to
connect
to. We haven't addressed the question in the Mishnah as to how much.
Yitera or chasera? Yeah. We're going to get to that only at the end. Okay, if we get there. If we get there today, we'll definitely get there. We might not get there today. Okay. Amrle Rabbanan le Rabbi Preda. So now the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Preda, Rabbi Ezra bar Bered, Rabbi Avtulus, Dehavu Asiri le Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, Dehu Asiri le Ezra, Kai Abava. Okay, this guy gets a very long introduction. They say to Rabbi Preda, Rabbi Ezra, the son of Rabbi Avtulus, the grandson of Rabbi Avtulus, who is the 10th generation to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who is the 10th generation to Ezra, is standing at the door. Okay. Amar, my kulei hai. He says, why are you giving him this unbelievable introduction? I bar oryanhu yai. If he's a ben Torah, then great. I bar oryan or ubar avan, if he's both a ben Torah and a ben avot, meaning he has zchut avot of all these generations, his yichus, yai v'yai, okay, or just yai, okay, it's unclear, there's different gersaot here, then that's also good. But in other words, maybe it's good and it's good, but it could be, he's just saying, that's fine, but like, it's no different, and it's, oh, what do I care about? And this is why I went back to that original story about him teaching this guy who didn't know anything. I don't care what his zchut avot is. If he's a ben Torah, he's a ben Torah. If he's, and now we're going to see if he's not a ben Torah, right? V'i bar ha'avhan, and if he has zchut avot, v'lo bar oryan, he doesn't have any Torah, isha tichle, the fire should burn him. Some Gersa would actually have ima tichle, his mother should burn, which what happens if your mother burns? You lose your yichus. In other words, we don't know who to associate you with, even though we always say zchut avot. It's interesting, right? Also, it goes by the mother, because then we know who the child is, and you basically burned your yichus off. Some people say, I read a good article, which I'm going to reflect back to, Dafka Reform Rabbi, Tamar Davdivani. She claims that if you don't connect back to your zchut avot, it's like we always view the zchut avot as a tree, a family tree, then everything will dry out, right? If you don't connect back to your roots, the roots will, right, the tree branches will dry, and what happens to dry trees? They burn very easily, and then it'll burn. In other words, it's an outcome. It's not saying you'll be cursed, it's just that's what's going to happen.
It's funny that they talk about his mother, because they don't talk about his father as one of his beasts. They say his grandfather, he's the grandson of not.
Right, they don't even mention his father. Okay, so now, before we even go on, I want to point out, okay, so he's basically saying, I don't get this whole thing about zchut avot. Who does he mention? So he mentions a few interesting people. Okay, Ezra, who basically, you know, showed, these are all people who proved themselves, and they had zchut avot, and yet they also went out and took very strong steps to make things happen, like Ezra, who brought everybody back. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who's in the famous story with Rabban Gamliel, when Rabban Gamliel gets kicked out, and they try to figure out who should be next, if you remember, why did they choose Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Because he was rich, and he had zchut avot. Okay, and the dafka, because of his zchut avot, he got chosen. And what was unique about him? In that day, remember, he let all these people into the Beit Midrash. All these people were inclusive. Ezra brought everybody back. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah brought everybody into the Beit Midrash. And what's he doing? He's preventing him from getting in the door. Rabbi Preda is not letting this person in the door. It's almost like he's undoing what people said. Okay, Rabbi Avtulus also has an interesting, I found this in the article by this Rabbat Tamar. She writes that Rabbi Avtulus, there's a mechilta about him, which is before Yom Suf, they were trying to figure out, you know, how to, all these midrashim about, oh, well, zchut avot, you should protect them and let them go through the Yom Suf. And he gives a mashal amad bar domeh to a son who was chased out of the house and by a king, and the beloved of the king comes and says, come on, bring my children back. And he says, oh, don't worry, kfar nitretz tabini. In other words, I've already made my peace with my children, and they've already proven themselves. And that it rejects all the opinions about zchut avot, and Dafka says it's about the people, yeah, you know, and who they are. So anyway, there's all sorts of interesting connections here. So anyway, Amar Lehu, so I'm sorry, Amrule, so they say to him, Bar Oryanhu, he's a Ben Torah. Okay, so you can lend him in. Amar Lehu, Leo Velete. Okay, so he says, fine, come in. Chazya Dahava Achira Date. Now here's a big debate between Rashi and Rabbeinu Gershon as to who sees who and who is Achure Dat. Achure Dat means the root Ayin Kafresh is usually ugly. Could be his face was distorted because he was upset. Okay? Seems like he was upset. So somebody saw that the other person was upset. Now it's unclear whether the Rashi says the Pshat is that Rabbi Preda saw that Rabbi Ezra was upset because he was made to wait in the door, and it was humiliating to him to have to wait in the door, right? It's a good example of you should never make people wait in the door, right? It makes them embarrassed. Like, what, why can't you open the door for me? So, and maybe he heard the discussion going on through the door. I'm sure the doors weren't so great at that time, and I'm sure he heard what was going on. And he was humiliated. But I think that Rabbeinu Gershom's shot works a little better in terms of the continuation. But we'll see. There's two options of how to read this. So it could be that when Rabbi Ezra came in, he saw that Rabbi Preda was kind of upset about this whole thing, about them using the Zchut Avot. So Patach Va'amar. So whoever saw that the other person was upset started with a drasha. Amar Tala Hashem, Adonai Ata Tovati Bal Alecha. Okay, Tovati Bal Alecha. Okay, what's this saying? It sounds like what the pshat is that Hashem, and there's no good except for in you. Okay? But here's the drasha. Amra Knesset Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Hachzek Li Tova, Shodaticha Ba'olam. Okay, by the way, it's a pasuk from Tehilim. And the next pasuk after that says, L'kadoshim asher ba'aretz hema va'adirai kol chofzei bam. In other words, Tovati Bal Alecha, okay, which is some sort of limitation of good. And then the next pasuk is, for the kedoshim that are in the aretz, heim avadirei kol chafzei bam. Those are the ones I am looking for. So Knesset Yisrael says to Hashem, hachzek li tova shehodaticha ba'olam. We glorify your name in this world. So look upon us favorably. Amar la tovati balalecha. So God says to them, no, I'm reserving my good. I'm not giving my favor to you. They were the ones who did it first, and therefore, bizchutchem, you're going to get zchuyot, which basically means zchut avot. So the question is, right, so first of all, let's see the drasha. Shenemar, l'kedoshim asher ba'aretz hema v'adirai kochav tzebam. Okay, so then they say, right, so again, according to Rashi, Rabbi Preda wanted to make Rabbi Ezra feel better, so he started darshaning, even though he doesn't really believe in zchut avot, he started darshaning zchut avot. It's hard to believe that because he was really so against zchut avot a minute ago that he all of a sudden makes this change and does it. Maybe he's showing, okay, fine.
He'll do what he needs to do to make the person
feel better. Exactly. Even though a minute ago he wasn't making him feel very good at all.
But maybe
he realizes his mistake. According to Rabbeinu Gershom, Rabbi Ezra's trying to prove to him why zchut avot is important. Okay? Kevan Deshame. Now the other person, again, depending on who it is, reacts and hears the Ka'amar Adir. He hears him say the word Adir, and it reminds him of some other drasha, which seemingly is a little unconnected, but hopefully we'll connect this back. Patach va'amar. Now we're going to have a slew of four drashot that are plays on words, okay? Yavo adir v'yifra la'adirim me'adirim ba'adirim. Okay. And now I'm going to, these are like riddles. Yavo adir ze'akadosh baruch hu. Okay, God is going to come. Dechtiv, how do we know that God is adir? Adir b'marom Hashem. Okay, God is mighty in the heavens. Okay, or adir, great. V'yifra la'adirim, and he will pay back the adirim. Elu Yisrael, shenemar v'adirei kol chafzei bam. Okay, that was from this pasuk, right? My glory is in all those who beseech me. Here he actually uses it to say, that's everybody and not just the kedoshim. Maybe it's a bit of a reaction to what he's saying, actually, now that I think about it. He uses that pasuk, adirei kol chafzei bam, is all of Yisrael. Maybe that, I didn't catch that before. Right, the first drasha was that that's just Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but he's saying, no, that's everybody. Me adirim elu hamitzrim, Okay, which again supports Rabbeinu Gershom's reading, that maybe we're having a dusiach here, you know, and he's kind of retorting back. From, okay, so remember, Adir will pay back the Adirim from the Adirim. Who are the Adirim? Eloha Mitzrim. Tichtiv, Talalu, Ka'oferet, B'mayim Adirim. Okay? And here the subject, it's not the Mayim Adirim, it's they drowned like lead. B'mayim Adirim. The Adirim are those who drowned. Those are the Mitzrim, like, because they were glorious, right? Ba Adirim, Elu Mayim. Right? Where did God pay us back? Bi Adirim, that's Mayim. Shenemar, Mikolot, Mayim Rabim, Adirim, Mishberei Yam. Okay, the breaks of the water are grand. Okay, so there you see it associated with water. Next one. Yavo Yadid ben Yadid, V'yivne Yadid li Yadid, B'chalkoshel Yadid, V'yitchapruvo Yadidim. This one's even better, right? Okay. You'll come Yadid. This is Shlomo HaMelech. Dichti, V'yishlach B'yad Natan HaNavi, V'yikrashimo Yadidya, B'avor Hashem. Okay, so that's a pasuk that refers to Shlomo calling him Yedidya. Ben Yedid, he's the son of Yedid. Who's that? Ze Avraham. Dichtiv mal Yedidi bebeti. This is a pasuk from Yirmiyahu that they darshan to be talking about Avraham. We're going to get back to that pasuk later, and we're going to see how they connected to Avraham. After we finish the four statements, they're going to go back and explain how they got to the Yedid is Avraham. Dichtiv mal Yedidi bebeti. Okay, so that's the pasuk from Yirmiyahu. V'yivne Yedid ze Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash is called the Yedid. Dichtiv, Ma Yedidut Mishkanotecha. Okay, it's referring to the Mishkanot, the Mishkan, where Hashem is going to rest, as Yedidut. Li Yedid, Ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dichtiv, Ashira Na Li Yedidi. This is the Shirat HaKerem of Yeshayahu, where he says, I'm going to sing a song in the name of God. That's the Yedidi. B'chalko Shel Yedid, this is from yesterday's Torah reading. Ze B'yamin, Shenemar, L'B'yamin Amar Yedid Hashem Yishkon Levetach Alav. Okay, the Binyamin, right, Le'Binyamin, they say, you're Yedid Hashem. And therefore, Li Yedid is in the Shetach of, you know, Bichal Kosha Yedid, in the Shetach of Binyamin. That's where the Beit HaMikdash is going to be. V'yit Kapruvo Yedidim Eli Yisrael. And who will be Get Kapara? The Yedidim. That's B'nai Yisrael. Dechtiv Natati Et Yedidut Nafshi B'kaf Oyveha. Okay, that's a reference to B'nai Israel. So again, let's just read it from the beginning. Yavo Yedid ben Yedid, Shlomo ben Avram, V'yivne Yedid, build the Ben HaMikdash, Li Yedid, for Hashem, B'chal Kosha Yedid, and the Chalik of Binyamin, V'yit Kapru Bo Yedidim. And B'nai Israel will get atonement for it. Okay, next. Yavo Tov, Yikabel Tov Mitov, Litovim. Okay, what's this? Yavo Tov Ze Moshe. Someone good will come, that's Moshe, Dechtiv, Patera Oto Ki Tov, right, when he's born. Kitofu. V'yikabel tov, ze Torah. He'll get something good, which is the Torah. Dichtiv, ki lekach tov natati lachem. Right, Torah. Tiyol ta'azovu. Lekach tov is the Torah. Mi tov, ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God is good. Dichtiv, tov Hashem l'kol atovim. God is good to all who are good. Tov Hashem l'kol. Sorry, I read that wrong. God is good to all, so tov is Hashem. Litovim eli Yisrael. Dichtiv, heitiva Hashem litovim. Okay, God made it good for those who were good. Yavo ze v'yikabel zot mize la'am Yavo ze v'yikabel zot mize la'am zu. Okay. Yavo ze Moshe. Now, this is almost like a joke, right? Because until now we've used these words, Adir, Yedid, Tov. All of a sudden we're using a plain simple word like ze, and we're talking about greatness. Okay, Yavo ze Moshe. Tichtiv, ki ze Moshe ha'ish, right, when he's boshesh, right, when he doesn't show up for Chira Egel, before, you know, when he's coming down, he was delaying to come down from the mountain. V'yikabel zot, zo ha'torah. Tichtiv, v'zot ha'torah asher sam Moshe, famous pasuk we all know. Mi ze ha'kadosh baruch hu. Dichtiv, ze eli v'amveu. That's a way to reference to God. La'am zo elu Yisrael. Shenemar, am zo kanita. Okay, they're called am zo. Okay, what is all this, okay? Before we get to Avram and how that pasuk relates to Avram, let's just talk about what this whole discussion is about. Okay? So one way to read it, it's interesting, and that is you could read it that this is, again, it all depends on who's speaking and what's going on and what's the dusiach. But in the end, it could be saying that really there is chud avot, because look at these great people. They're the great people that kind of brought things to B'nai Israel, right? The Torah. First of all, it's talking about three, even though it's four things, really the same. The last two are the same, the Torah and, right, they're both the Torah, the giving of the Torah. There's Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim, which is our Ge'ula, there's the giving of the Torah, and there's the building of the Beit HaMikdash. It's interesting that the order is flipped, right? It could be that, you know, it's a reference to the Mishkan, which was, there's always a debate. Was the Mishkan before we got Matan Torah, after, you know, and how the order of the Psukim worked there? Is there Ein Mukdam U'Mu'char B'Torah? But these are central themes, right? Torah, Beit HaMikdash. But I think that with these, even though these were given by great people, it's almost even like you can see that Shlomo was the son of Avraham and it was given to Chelek and Binyamin. But in all of these psukim, in the end, where does it come out? That it's all for Yisrael, right? And he takes the idea, if you view it, that it was Rabbi Preda responding back to him. What he was trying to say was really disappointing. Rashi's reading is that Rabbi Preda kind of goes out of his way to say, you're right, there's importance to Zechut Avot. And then you can look at the last drashot that Rabbi Preda comes and says, yeah, here are all these drashot that show all these great people, and that stands b'zchutenu. But you could view it as differently, as saying that Rabbi Preda is really saying, look, it's all about, look, you said Adirim or the Avot. Adirim or Yisrael, and in all these psukim I'm going to show you, it's all for Yisrael. And the Torah was given to everybody, and the Beit HaMikdash was given to everybody. And the whole idea is that it's everybody's, and it's for all of us. And that fits in with his worldview about helping all these students who are not so great. And kind of in order to do that, you a little bit, and what's interesting is he was being a little exclusive and not letting him in until he figured out, which almost sounds like Rabban Gamliel-like, you know, not letting him in the Beit Midrash, what you have to check who he is Tochok and Boro, right? Is he, but it was almost, he was rejecting the rabbis who came and said to him, let him in because he's so important. And he was trying to say, no, it has nothing to do with, are you important or not? In other words, sorry, your status, your yichus. It has nothing to do with your yichus. Your yichus doesn't interest me at all. What interests me is who you are as a person and, you know, what you're, yeah. Right. And it actually fits in perfectly with the Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria approach against Rabban Gamliel. And almost he was saying, look, this guy comes from that, you know, and you have to show him. And it wasn't even Rabbi Ezra himself he was against. I think it was really the rabbis. He was trying to teach the rabbis a lesson. You got it all wrong. You missed the point. And this has nothing to do with who, you know, where a person comes from. This article I read was actually going in a different direction. She was trying, let me just think for a second. No, the truth is a lot of what I got was really from her. Right. What she said was brilliant. What she said is that this connects, and this is what I really liked about what she said. She was also building on this theme. I don't think she didn't go into the whole Yidi Ben Yidid. She ignored all that part in her article, from what I recall. But she was talking really about the beginning part. But she connects the whole thing with the question. What was the question? How does this relate to the Sugya? And that was what was brilliant about what she wrote. The whole question was, how do you know that you have to watch it, Shelo Yachmitsu? And she says, it's brilliant. What's the whole idea of Yachmitsu? Now, the tier, you have something that was designated to be matzah. But if you don't watch it well, it's going to turn into chametz. And that's what she was saying about the Masoret. The Yichus is no... this is what the whole argument is of Rabbi Preda. Your Yichus doesn't mean anything if you don't watch it. Your Masoret is only... Your Yichus and where you come from is only important if you continue it. And if you don't, and you don't watch it all the time... It's almost like a play, Shamartim Atamitz Matzot, and they say, Shamartim Atamitz Vot, right? That if you don't watch them, then you're not going to be able to continue in that path. So that it connects with the concept of watching the Mincha, so it doesn't turn into Chametz.
To Lachmit something means to miss out on it.
Right. So how are you connecting it? That
No, that just like, it'll turn into Chametz and you'll miss...
Right, you'll miss your opportunity.
Right.
Exactly. Yafeh. Okay, now we're going to go back to how do we get that this pasuk in Yirmiyahu connects to Avraham. Okay, so first I'm going to read the pasukim so that you know them inside. Okay, it starts, it's Yirmiyahu, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tepav. Mali didi bebeti. You're not going to understand these words so well. We'll darch on them in a minute. Asota hamizimata harabim ubisar kodesh yavru me'alecha kira ataychi az ta'alozu. Okay, we'll get back to it in a minute. The next pasuk is somewhere down here. I'm just using the Torah or no, I don't see it here. Here. Okay. Zayid Ra'anan Yefei Pri Toar Kara Hashem Shmech Lekol Hamula Gdola Yitzit Esh Aleha V'Ra'u Daliotav. Okay, we're going to darshan these pasukim now so that it can be more comprehensible. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, b'sha'a shacharev Beit HaMikdash, remember, Yirmiyahu was mitnabe about the Chorban, mitza'o HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'Avram, sh'aya omed b'Beit HaMikdash. Hashem finds Avram in the Beit HaMikdash. Why Avram? Because stone. What happens in stone? This is going to be a basic rewriting of the stone story, applying it to the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, where Avram says, well, you know, maybe you'll save them because of, you know, 100 tzaddiki, 50 tzaddiki, I don't remember all the numbers, but, you know, in other words, going out to bat for the people. So, the Beit HaMikdash is being destroyed. Avram comes into the Beit HaMikdash. Amar lo, mali yedidi bebeiti. Hashem says to him, what are you doing in my house? Okay, so now, the pasuk is going to all be Hashem speaking, and the in-betweens are going to be Avram, okay? The midrash is going to fill in. So, God says, mali yedidi bebeiti. Amar lo, so here, this is not in the pasuk. Avram says, alis kebanai bati, I came to protect my children. Amar lo, banecha chat'u v'galu. This isn't yet in the pasuk either. He says, but your sons sinned, and now they're going into exile. Amar lo, shema b'shogeg chat'u. Maybe it was all shogeg. And here comes the next words in the pasuk. Amar lo, asota hamizimata. They did it on purpose. Amar, right? It was all mazed. Amar lo, so again, not in the pasuk. Avram comes and says, shema miutan chat'u. Maybe it's only some of them. Amar lo, here's the next word, harabim. Masses did it. It's not just a few. Hayalachal is kor brit milah. You should have remembered their brit milah. Okay, you know, they did do some of the mitzvot. And Avram, of course, is saying brit milah that I did. Amar lo, ubasar kodesh yavru me'alecha. He understands the next words, meaning they stopped, right? They removed it, or they hid it, or they didn't do it at all, okay? From the flesh of their kodesh, you know, they stopped doing. Amar lo, shema imim tanta lehem, hayu chozrim b'tshuva. Maybe if you wait for them, they'll be chozrim b'tshuva. Amar lo, ki ra'ataychi az ta'alozu. So there's a few different ways to understand this. I'll explain it the way that made the most sense to me. When they do bad and they sin, they're happy about it. And that shows they're never, right? If you do bad and you feel bad about it, then you'll feel remorseful. You'll eventually go back and do tshuva. But they don't feel bad at all. Miyad hiniach yad. Okay, so that's all the first pasuk. Miyad hiniach yadav al rosho v'hayatzo eku boche. So Avram realizes he's got no hope and he starts to cry. Amar lo, shema chas v'shalom ein lahem takanas. He says, what, is there really nothing that can be done? So comes the next pasuk, yatzta bako v'amralo. Right, it's no longer interesting, him and God. He loses to God, but a heavenly voice comes down and says, zayit ra'anan yefe pri toar kara Hashem shmech. What does that mean? Ma, and as God will call you a zayit ra'anan, what's unique about a zayit? Ma zayit zo acharito b'sofo, af Yisrael acharitam b'sofan. Okay, there's a few different explanations what this means. Either it means that a zayit grows and it takes a very long time for it to grow till you finally see fruits, but eventually you'll see fruits. Or some people say that all the fruits of the olives ripen at the same time, meaning at the end of the season, basically, they all ripen, as opposed to some trees, which some of them ripen over time. This is all at the end. So, af Yisrael acharitam b'sofan. In other words, eventually there will be takana. They're getting punished now, but at the end you'll see good.
Also, olive trees live to be so old that they can look dead, and you think there's nothing there, and then they still get.
And then eventually, okay. But why specifically a zayit? You'd have to explain.
Well, because most trees, when they look dead, are dead.
And not a zayit.
All
right. So some people say the zayit is always alive. Also, it lives for right. Okay. L'kol ha'mulah gdola itzit esh aleha v'ra'u daliotav. Now, this is a little bit of a weird, because we just said this is a positive thing, but now the end of that pasuk is pretty bad. Okay, l'kol ha'mulah, like a mass commotion, gdola, itzit esh aleha, fire will burn on it, v'ra'u daliotav. How did they translate it?
His branches will be broken.
Okay, its branches will be broken. So, Amar avchinin abar papa, l'kol milehen shel miraglim. Now, this actually has nothing to do with the last drasha, it seems. For the voice of the words, okay, kol hamula, they translate as mila, the words, not brit mila, but words, and not hamula as commotion, but the words. The words of the miraglim, because of that, nitra'ud le'yotan shel Yisrael. Their branches were broken because of the words of the miraglim. That's why they say, right, b'chiyah l'dorot, and that's happened on Tisha B'Av, and that happened on Tisha B'Av. Ta'amar avchinin abar papa, davar gadol debru miraglim ba'ota sha'ah. Okay, that he said, right? They said something really bad. Ki chazaku mimenu, what did they say? Right? What is chazaku mimenu? They're greater than us. But al tekre mimenu, ela mimenu. Don't say from us, ela mimenu could also be from him, from God. they're stronger than God. It sounds like even the Balabayit, even God, can't go in there and take his kelim out of there. In other words, even God can't make it there. So because they said something so bad against God, because of that. Matkif la Rabbi Chiya bar Rabbi Chanina. Hai lekol mula gdola, lekol mila mibayala. It says hamula. It doesn't say mila. According to you, it should be the word, not hamula commotion. So therefore, he says, and this goes back to the story, the way we were darshaning it, Ela amar lo kadosh baruch hu la'avram, kocha shamati v'chamalti alehen. I heard your voice, kol hamula gdola. I heard your voice, hamula, also chemla. Again, we have the chet and the hay, and I have rachamim on them. Ani amarti yishabdu ba'arba machuyot kol achat ve'achat kishior arba machuyot. Okay, I said originally they were going to be suffer by four malchuyot, and each one for a whole time period, for the whole time period of the arba malchuyot. Now they're going to have the arba malchuyot subjugate them, but for the time span of only one. Okay, so there's different explanations. Either it means different Jews in different places will be subjugated by four malchuyot all in the same time period, or it'll just be a shorter time period each one. To add up to one whole time period. So this, the end of the pasuk is actually saying God will have rachamim. Okay, ikad amrei. Some people say ani amarti b'zeh achar zeh achshav bevat achat. Okay, I said it'll happen one after the other. Now they're going to all happen at the same time. Okay, last thing for today. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi lamalim shenu Yisrael lezayit lomar lachama zayit ein alav noshrim lo biyamot chama v'lo biyamot hakshamim. The leaves never fall even in the summer season or the winter season. Af Yisrael ein lehem b'teila olamit. Bnei Yisrael will never, right, they'll always exist, lo ba'olam hazeh, lo ba'olam haba, okay, both in this world and the next. For Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he has a different reason, lama nimshu Yisrael lezayit, lomar lecha, ma zayit eno motzi shamno, ela yidei ketita, af Yisrael en chozrin lemutav, ela yidei surin. And this again connects with why they were connected to a zayit in these psukim, because they, just like you have to smash the olives, the Jews have to be smashed to get them to go back and do tshuva, but that would explain why this pasuk is showing there's hope. Okay, that there's hope. The problem with all these drashot about showing that this is the hope is that, you know, although maybe this one explains it a little better, that ra'ud aliyotav, their branches will break, and through being broken, they'll come back to God. I guess that's how you would have to view it. That they'll be broken to God. Interesting also, it connects with the tree image of the zchut avot, and the, you know, brings it back full circle to that concept. Okay. So tomorrow we'll get to the chaserah in Yitzhak.